Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Exodus 32, you guys there? All right. This morning, I want to talk quickly about what I feel like is an assignment from the enemy against your life, and it's been there all along, and I think we miss it a lot of times. And I want to talk this morning about disappointment. I think through COVID, we've all talked about like the tension. We've talked about the issues in social media. We've seen a lot of social justice issues. Of course, the pandemic itself. We've talked about the economic, having just a heart of hope. We've talked about a lot of this stuff. But one of the things I think we can all universally agree with and say, hey, yeah, I felt that during this time, is the emotion of disappointment. I mean, people didn't graduate. You know what I mean? Like, people had to cancel vacations. Goodness gracious, my wife and I were supposed to go to Hawaii on a baby moon, and we had to cancel it. Talking about disappointment. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been so many things. I mean, loved ones have not been able to bury their loved ones, their mothers and fathers. And I mean, it's been, what a wild season. I know we were supposed to get an ultrasound. We've never had an ultrasound to see the gender of our child. We've waited, and so we're like, hey, let's get an ultrasound this time. And I was refused out the door into the hospital, and I wasn't allowed to see our own ultrasound. You know what I mean? Like, what a season of disappointment we've been in, right? You guys all right? You here? Okay. And I realize, that disappointment has become such a subtle landmine for believers. Because it really carries this soulish power to alter the course of people's lives. I've watched a lot of people get trapped in cycles of disappointment to the extent that I've watched people change who they were and where they're going right before my eyes, completely based on their disappointment. And I want to quickly, really quickly, talk about in Exodus, and then we're going to talk about Scripture and Proverbs. And I want to talk about how the Lord not only wants to protect us from disappointment, but how to heal from disappointment and how to recalibrate our desires to the Lord. Is that all right? And so Exodus 32, here's the story, is that Israel has just come out of captivity. They've watched like the Lord wreak havoc on Egypt and the 7 plagues that hit Egypt. They've seen Moses put his staff in the water. The waters part. Their enemies that were consumed. They're getting manna, fresh manna every day. That's just manifesting for them. Hey, guys, no, they're experiencing a lot of like supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles that point to God's favor and provision for their life. So all of Israel is in the valley, and they're talking about going into the promised land, and when can they go and all this stuff. And then this cloud comes on Mount Sinai, and the Lord appears on Mount Sinai, and they're standing there, and Moses gets invited by the Lord to go into a season of instruction for the nation of Israel, and all of Israel watched Moses go into the cloud. Now, there was not a timeline. There was not a expect me back at this time in this hour. They watched Moses go into the cloud, and they waited. And it lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he is in the cloud, in the glory. They can't see him. They're afraid of the mountain, right? And it starts nearing that 40th day. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, come and make us a god that will go before us. For as for Moses, we don't know what's come of him. And Aaron said to them, take off all your gold earrings, which are on your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me. And the people brought their gold earrings, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before, and Aaron made a proclamation, tomorrow we feast to the Lord. So In the delay of Moses' arrival, after everything that's gone on, they're ready to go to the promised land. They're stuck in this middle moment between God promised and God delivered us to God is going to fulfill his word. They're stuck in this middle ground of instruction, and the delay causes them to throw their gold into a fire and fashion a calf. And what Israel does is they build an altar to their disappointment. They build an altar to their disappointment, and they worship the God of their own strength. They literally take something out of the means that they can form and shape by their own hand. They call it the God that delivered them from Egypt, and they worshiped it as the God of their deliverance, but it was the God that was made by their own hand. The God of their own strength, an altar to their disappointment. And here's the reality, is that we build altars to our disappointment all the time. How many times in a moment of delay or a moment of discouragement or something doesn't go the way that we expected it, that we take matters into our own hand, that we don't wait on the word of the Lord, we don't seek direction from the Lord, we go, I'm going to take whatever I can do in my own strength, and I'm going to pursue that thing, and then we call it God and provision and all these other things, but what it really is an altar to our disappointment. And the reality is that when we serve our own strength and we worship our own strength and make decisions in our own strength, we become submitted to the vulnerabilities of our strength. Are you guys all right? When we are bound to our strength and vulnerabilities of our own efforts, when we forfeit faith, we step out of grace. And when we step out of grace, we step out of the unmerited and unearned favor of God for our lives. And do you guys understand the difference of like living in the favor of the Lord and out of the favor of the Lord? Like sometimes I wonder how people are parents without God. Anybody? I don't know how people are like, I don't know how they do anything without the Holy Spirit. Like where any of their grace and motivation comes from. I don't understand how people operate because I've lived in the favor of the Lord and out of the favor of the Lord. And living out of the favor of the Lord is unbearable, but living in the favor of the Lord causes me to always carry hope and strength and joy through all things. But when I bind myself to my own strength and worship the God of my disappointment, and I make decisions, maybe a relationship I chose because I'm disappointed the last relationship didn't work out, or I make a decision on a job because what I thought was gonna work out didn't work out, and I need to go, so I make a decision, and I build an altar to my disappointment, and I limit myself to my own strength, I step out of grace, which means I step out of favor. And the reality, here's the thing. God will never stop loving you. In your worst moment, in your places of compromise and mediocrity and all this stuff, he won't stop loving you. And the crazy thing is, he will even bless you. But there are seasons where we remove ourselves from his will. And when we remove ourselves from his will and his favor, God will withhold blessing so that you don't confuse blessing with favor. Let me explain. Because you got to understand, withholding is not punishment. It's wisdom. Let me give you an example. Here we have Israel in Exodus 32, and Israel has begun to worship the God of their own strength. And Moses comes down and Joshua's like, hey, what's that? It's been 40 days and 40 nights. They're probably pretty anxious for us. They're probably pretty discouraged. We need to get down there. Joshua and Moses are like, cool, let's get down this mountain. Let's go. We got all the instructions. And they come down and Joshua's like, hey, do you hear that? I hear singing and dancing. And they get closer and they see the golden calf. And Moses is ready to knock somebody out. Moses wants to take this matter into his own hands. You know what I'm saying? And God speaks to Moses and says, leave them alone with me. And he goes, I am going to send my wrath upon them so that I can turn them into a great nation. Listen, translate that through covenantal theology, the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the quenching of our wrath. Okay, make that leap with me for a second, but we see something in the nature of God that identifies that his response to a nation's removal from his favor, God's response is, I am going to use this moment of them outside of my favor to turn them into a great nation. And God will actually at moments respond by withholding blessing, that in this moment of serving your own strength that you would come to the reality of, I'm outside of the favor of God for my life. And in order to step back into favor, I need to step back into alignment with him because he desires to turn me into a great nation. Is this making sense? Please don't hear anything that I did not say. Go to Proverbs 13:12 with me. This is where I want to land. And so what we have to understand is that disappointment can oftentimes cause people in their anxiety and anxiousness to make decisions that redirects their pathway, that redirects their decision-making to take matters into their own hand and create their own will. But what I want to talk about, that's redirecting your course. But disappointment also has the ability to actually redirect your nature and who you are. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but desire fulfilled is what? A tree of life. Right? We've heard this said many times, and I fear that we have misunderstood this verse. Because we've often taken it as hope deferred makes a heart sick. This is where I am. I need my desire to get fulfilled so that I can have life, which means that I need what I want to happen so that I can be joyful. And I want to bring us revelation and understanding of this passage because we've completely misunderstood what this means. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That means the mind, the will, the intellect have become weak, weary, worn down, and broken. It means that the will loses the strength to keep moving forward and believing. Disappointment can do such damage to the mind, the will, and the emotions that it blows wide open the door to fear, worry, anxiety, hopelessness, and sin. Why? Because we've lost the willpower and strength to guard the intellect and the soul from going in directions that are not his will for our life. Building altars to our disappointment redirects our path. But when the heart gets sick, it changes who we are. It changes our beliefs, our responses, and our habits. I've watched a lot of people fall out of habit of ministering to the Lord when no one is looking. I've watched people fall out of habit with praying through all things. Right? I've watched people fall out of habit of studying the scriptures just with the Lord. I've watched a lot of people fall out of habit of guarding their heart from offense and letting themselves become frustrated and offended. I have watched people fall out of the habit of doing the things that they know are godly and reflect his virtues and his nature. And when I ask, hey, when did mediocrity come into your life? It usually is correlated and directly responds to a moment a leader let them down or something that they expected didn't happen. And they allowed that moment to give them permission to behave opposite of who they are. Hope deferred has made a heart sick. But desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The tree of life, this is a doctrinal thing I need us to understand. The tree of life is not interchangeable to whatever you want. There's only one tree of life, and his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord our Messiah, the Son of the only God. He's the only tree of life. He was in the garden. There was a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was the law and the recognition of the sinful nature and language of it. And there was another tree. His name was Jesus, and they could partake of him in the garden. The reason why they were not allowed to partake of it after taking the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that although Jesus would have covered their sin, Jesus had to come to cover all of our sin and to make himself available that all could eat of the tree of the knowledge of or the tree of life. And Jesus actually referred to himself as the tree of life. And if you eat of me, you will spend eternity with the Father. You cannot doctrinally change the tree of life in the book of Proverbs. You cannot say, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life to me. And whatever desire I want, it is Jesus. That job that I want, it is Jesus. That girl I want to date, it is Jesus. It is not Jesus. Jesus stands alone, and he is the only person that represents himself. So hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. A desire fulfilled will heal the damage of disappointment. If disappointment is desire delayed and hope is desire fulfilled, then the problem is not in the delay, it's where we set our desires. I want to present to you, I love you. Do you love me? I love you. Are we okay? Do you love me? I want to make sure this exchange happens before I say anything else. Do we love each other? Okay. Disappointment is always self-inflicted. Some of you are looking at me so wrong right now. I didn't do that. No, you didn't cause the delay, but you did set your affections on something that was not a tree of life. Disappointment is always self-inflicted. It's not that we may not have to wrestle with it, but disappointment is an opportunity to recalibrate our affections back upon the Lord. Because I was looking for an outcome that reflected my will. But my desire is not to be in my will, but to be in his will. So if the outcome doesn't reflect his will, then I redirect my desires back upon his will. Because hope deferred means I set my affections on something that was not aligned to his will, and I bound my emotional state of being to the outcome of something that wasn't his will. We okay? What we have to understand is that disappointment is a landmine of the enemy, but if we have eyes to see, we will recognize it as a divine opportunity to get recalibrated with the Lord. David said this in Psalm 27. I'm almost done. David said this in Psalm 27. David said this. He said, I am surrounded by my enemy on every side. Sounds like a good opportunity for disappointment. David goes, I'm surrounded by the enemy on every side. But what does he say next? But this is the one thing that I what? Desire. Everyone say desire. The corporate partnership right now is weak. Everyone say desire. Okay, thank you. One thing that I desire is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And now my head is lifted above my enemies. You understand, in this moment, David is saying, hey, listen, my affections are not set on the outcome of a battle. My affections are set on all I want is to be in the presence of the Lord. And now I am not under the strength. I am not under the demise of a battle or an outcome or my enemies. They have no control. Because whether I win or whether I lose, my desire is fulfilled because I am in the presence of the Lord. And he says, I'm recalibrating what I'm after and what I'm putting my affections on is all I want is his kingdom. All I want in surplus or in lack, in abundance or in poverty.
Disappointment was self-inflicted because my definition and vision of success was
good thing I'm landing this plane. Here, this is how I want to end, is that the Lord actually wants to win back the affections of our soul that have been given away to other lovers. God wants to win back, and what the very thing the enemy sent to trip you up is the very opportunity that God is giving you vision into insight into a heart that was allowed to go wayward. And God, listen, and this is why God says to Israel, and he goes, Moses, leave them alone. What you're going to do is punish them for their disobedience. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shape them to become a great nation. God wants to shape you, and he's looking at your family, he's looking at your household and goes, I want to make you into a great nation. I want you to fulfill the very thing that you were created to fulfill, the word that is over your life. I want to see you walk into who you are called to walk, what you're called to walk into. I want to turn your family into a great nation. And if you have eyes to see, this moment right now before you is an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm inviting you. God of Israel, have your way with my heart. God, I don't want a golden calf. I don't want a job. I don't want a financial outcome. I don't want a person. I don't want a situation to go a certain way. I want what you want from my life, and I want to be in the will of God. I want to stand in your favor. I just want you. I want your best for my life, and I don't get to determine what that is. And when I stand in your favor, Jesus, my eyes are on you. You are a tree of life for me, and there's no room for disappointment, because you heal all the wounds of disappointment. You hold me up and you strengthen my affections and you maintain my joy and you keep my hopeful resolve. Are you hearing me? Jesus is the only tree of life. Listen, if there is, I'm about to say something, it's going to sound so harsh. I love you. If you have ever let a man or woman of God have so much disappointment control over your life that it literally redirected the course of your life and who you are, it is not their fault. It was self-inflicted. I love you so much that I'm telling you this. And you go, how dare you? They did this to me and they did that to me. But if you had not given them real estate that only belonged to Jesus himself, it would not have carried the authority and the power to alter who you are. This is why men and women of God, leaders in the church, have to be held in the right regard in a healthy church culture and environment, because we cannot give permission to what will eventually become disappointment that will impact your life. And the thing I say all that to say is that Jesus is a tree of life. I am not putting shame on you for going through that. I am telling you that there is a tree in the garden. Eat of the tree in the garden. Consume Jesus and who he is. Partake in his presence and realign to his will in your life. Reposture your heart and your life before the Lord, and he will heal the wounds of disappointment that the enemy sent to trip you up. Is that okay? Are we okay? All right, stand with me. I want to be really clear. There's a difference between hurt and disappointed. People can hurt us because that is the scandal of being a family. We have the ability to hurt each other. Being disappointed is this belief that you are not who I expected you to be. Number one, we need to set everyone around us free from ungodly expectations that will ultimately ruin relationships and create toxic culture, because nobody can be your Jesus or your Holy Spirit. The other thing we need to do is know that there is a God who wants to heal wounds. And there is a God who wants to recalibrate your affections. That there is healing for hurt. And that there's revelation for those areas of disappointment. And so I don't know, maybe right now you can understand a moment, a day, a time, a person, a place where disappointment, where you know maybe you built an altar to that disappointment and you said, you know what, I'm going this way. I can't deal with that disappointment anymore. I'm changing course. Or maybe you said, I'm weary, I'm tired of all this disappointment, and I'm going to stop doing what I know that I'm supposed to do. Whatever area that you might fall into, I just want you to put a hand on your heart this morning, and we're going to say, God of Israel, come and reveal yourself to me.